Good morning and welcome to the season of Advent. That song we just sang comes from one of the scripture readings set for today to be read on this, the first Sunday of Advent. So you've actually been singing the scriptures. Would you be seated for a moment, please? As we step into the season of Advent, I want to give you two illustrations. The first illustration will be a way of getting your head around the variety of scriptures that speak about the coming one, for we know that a whole block of scriptures were fulfilled in the birth, life, death and resurrection of Christ, but there was another set of scriptures that were not yet fulfilled. So I want to give you an illustration around that. And then I want to give you another illustration to do with your personal journey across these next 4 weeks to Christmas. The first illustration. Elizabeth and I talked about this illustration as we were recently travelling around New Zealand. We're on the west coast of the South Island and we travelled up from Queenstown up to the Fox and Franz Josef Glacier areas. And from the township behind the Fox Glacier, we went out to Lake Matheson, which is renowned for its... Got me on the screen? Not that part. The laptop. It's just... Who's been to Lake Matheson? Quite a few. Yeah. And anyway, so you can see there the mountains in the background. So we'd also gone out to that area because we wanted to get a sighting of Mount Cook. Now, Mount Cook's the highest mountain in New Zealand, and it was one of the mountains that Sir Edmund Hillary learned his craft on before tackling Everest. Anyway, so we're at the cafe in just at Lake Matheson there, having lunch, and there's a sign up which says, Mount Tasman to the left, Mount Cook to the right. But in the distance... there's all these different peaks, and we're trying to fathom which one is it. And perspective throws you because the mountains that are further away, they might be taller, but they look smaller because of the distance factor. We're trying to figure it out. So the waitress then came across with our lunch, our meals, and put on the table. And I said to her, so is that one over there, Mount Cook? Oh, don't ask me, she says. I wouldn't know. I only started working here last week. I thought, okay, that's great. That's what the restaurant's there for, to sight Mount Cook, and the staff don't know where it is. So, but for us, from a distance, the mountain peaks all merged into one range, and we couldn't figure out exactly which one was which. Now, in actual fact, just change this up. That one is Mount Cook. Because it's further in the distance, it looks smaller. See, so I'm trying to fathom at that point, well, is that Tasman? Is that Cook? No, that's Cook over there. So the perspective threw us. Now, let me put this illustration. I want you to imagine you're out here at this viewing point, looking at the mountains, and you climb into a helicopter, and you now fly in to that mountain range, and what you will see, of course, is, there's a mountain there, and there's a valley, and there's another mountain there. But from this perspective, all we can see are the peaks. We can't see the valley and the separation point. It just merges into one. Before I apply the illustration, let me just develop it a bit more. Can I invite Emily Highlight up the front, please? Now you can put the camera on this one. Zoom in on it. Hi, Emily. Welcome. Now, you were showing me this very creative... You call this book art. Yep. And this is... What's this one?
That's a triangle book.
Triangle book. But it's about...
It's about mountains, and it was made by an artist named Barbara Harmon in Minnesota, where there are no mountains.
Oh.
Yeah. But it's called Some Mountains.
Some Mountains. So how's it work? It's a book that...
Sure. I might need both hands.
Yep.
The story is, the idea behind book arts is that the story is told by more than simply the text of the book. So it's actually told with the structure and illustration.
So just hold it there 1 minute. So, one mountain peak. Hold that thought. Now do what you're going to do.
Okay. I'm just going to make sure you can see this. Okay. The story is some mountains are so high, they create their own weather. And when you unfold it, it's completely flat, and you can see, can you see?
That's another way.
There. I think it's the other way.
That's why you're doing it, not me.
You get the idea? So there's flat pages, and did you want to...
Yep. Now, open it up for me.
Okay. So you unfold the pages, and they are these long, flat sheets of paper, and they're green in color. So you can see the green. And again, she has more pages in here. They're also flat and they're green.
So the valley.
Yeah, so it could look like a green valley.
Now, fold it up.
But if you head towards the Great Dividing Range, you start getting mountains. And so she's... This actually forms more peaks, but I think for this purpose we'll stick
just two. All I want is two. Yep. Okay, so we started with one mountain peak, but when we come in closer, we find there's now two peaks, and there's a separation, there's a space in between, if you like, a valley between the two. That's the illustration I want, okay? Thank you, that's all I need. Top. Okay, now, so hold that illustration and we're going to get to it and hopefully it's all going to make sense. Today's Old Testament text comes from Isaiah and put the laptop back on for me. Thank you. Oh, that you would tear open the heavens and come down. Oh, God, this world's a mess. Tear open the heavens and come down. Oh, God, break into our heartaches. Tear open the heavens and come down. On Wednesday, the Herald Sun, front page, pray for Phil. Tear open the heavens and come down. That's what that was saying, wasn't it? To the nation. Tear open the heavens and come down. Because we can't deal with this on our own. We're lost on our own. That's what that was saying. Adam Gilchrist is, of course, after the ball that felled Phil Hughes. In the cricketer, Adam Gilchrist tweeted, "Dear Lord, if ever the need for footprints in the sand, it's now. Tear open the heavens and come down. Hold us. You know, footprints in the sand where you find you held. Lord, hold us, because we can't walk this pathway alone." Tear open the heavens and come down is a very human cry. Look at your North England notes. Look at the first quote. We need God to meet the yearning of our hopes and fears and write a different ending to the human story than the one our eyes see and our lives create. Christmas is God's response to the cry of our hearts, God tearing open the heavens to come where we can see and know and believe in the ending that God is writing through our lives once the vision has captured us. Christmas is God with us, calling us to work toward that dream, not because we are fearful that God is making a list and checking it twice, but because through Jesus Christ, God's vision of the future has taken hold of our hearts and drawn us to live into it. Now back to my Two Peaks illustration. The Old Testament prophets looked far into the future and they saw God rending the heavens, tearing open the heavens and coming down in the form of Messiah, a Christ, a Messiah for the world. And they saw it as one event in history, one peak. So we started with one peak. But get into the chopper and zoom in closer and get into Bethlehem when it all started and you follow the story out and you find that there's not one peak, there's two peaks, in fact. If you like, Mount Tasman to the left, Mount Cook to the right. Jesus born in Bethlehem and his ministry then is one mountain peak. But not all the prophets saw from a distance was fulfilled then. There's a whole bank of other prophecies, the second mountain peak. Indeed, it was Jesus himself who introduced the time delay between the two peaks. He introduced it. So the message for the first Sunday of Advent is that the coming of Christ is broken into two events. The coming back in history then, one mountain peak. The coming in mystery, if you will, in the future, second mountain peak. Today we're going to begin to read from Mark's Gospel. For the next 12 months we'll be reading most of Mark's Gospel. Mark was writing at a time of social and political upheaval, perhaps some 20, 30, 35 years after the ascension of Christ. And at that time, the people were struggling with what was happening in their political and social world. And their hearts were murmuring, you tell us that God tore open the heavens and came down 3 decades ago in Jesus, but what about us now? We're in strife. The Romans are oppressing us. We can't cope with the time that we're in. So you tell us this story of Jesus those decades ago back then, but what about us right now? How does that impact us now in our real worlds? And so in light of this challenge, Mark writes, and he wants to encourage the believers with hope that no matter what course human history takes, the power and presence of Christ is not diminished for us. That's his intention. So we're going to dip today into Mark chapter 13, where we find that Mark emphasises hope. Hence today we lit the first candle on the Advent wreath, which is the hope candle. Now in the section, the bit before the reading we'll go into today, Jesus talks about the destruction of the temple, that massive temple in Jerusalem that was one of the wonders of the world. And Jesus said, not one stone we left upon another. It's going to be torn down. There's going to be chaos. Mark records Jesus saying, when that happens, that is the beginning of birth pains. Now, as painful as birth pains might be, do not birth pains lead to new life? That's what he's meaning there. So when these dark things happen, it's the beginning of what God is preparing as something new for the world. So when a few years later the Romans did tear down the temple and not one stone was left upon another, the people had this word in Mark saying, Jesus said it's going to happen. Hang on, he said this is the beginning of birth pains. If it's the beginning of birth pain, then we're in the birth pain now. This is awful what we're going through, but that means God is preparing something new for the world. So what's the new thing? So this is Mark's intention in this section. And next we get to the reading that's set for today, where Jesus now starts speaking about the second mountain peak. Leonie's going to come and read it to us.
Reading from Mark chapter 13, verses 24 to 37. But in those days, following that distress, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from the sky and the heavenly bodies will be shaken. At that time, people will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. And he will send his angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of the heavens. Now learn this lesson from the fig tree. As soon as its twigs get tender and its leaves come out, you know that summer is near. Even so, when you see these things happening, you know that it is near, right at the door. Truly, I tell you, this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. But about that day or hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Be on guard, be alert. You do not know when that time will come. It's like a man going away. He leaves his house and puts his servants in charge, each with their assigned task, and tells the one at the door to keep watch. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know when the owner of the house will come back, whether in the evening or at midnight, or when the rooster crows or at dawn. If he comes suddenly, do not let him find you sleeping. What I say to you, I say to everyone, watch. May God add his blessing to this word.
Where Mark positions this text is very telling. It's just before the plot to kill Jesus. So Mark is actually preparing the people for the absence of the physical Jesus. Look at some other thoughts that are on your Northwood notes about the time that we are in, which is the absence of the physical Jesus. Look at the middle quote on the front of the page. Christ is not with us as he once was, and he is not with us as he one day will be. And the bottom quote there is from the early church. Where we are, Jesus has been, and where Jesus is now, we will one day be. And flip over the page. This next quote by St. Bernard speaks about the two peaks and the valley time, and it's saying, yes, there's the coming of Jesus, peak one, Bethlehem, peak two, the coming of the Son of Man in glory. But he's saying, in this valley time which we are in, look for his coming in new ways. Look at the quote. We know that there are three comings of the Lord. The third lies between the other two. So, the third between the two peaks. It is invisible while the other two are visible. In the first coming, he was seen on earth, dwelling among people. He himself testified that they saw him and hated him. In the final coming, all flesh will see the salvation of our God, and they will look on him whom they have pierced. The immediate coming, this is now between the two peaks, is a hidden one. In it only the elect see the Lord within their own selves, and they are saved. In his first coming, our Lord came in our flesh and in our weakness. In this middle coming, he comes in spirit and in power. In the final coming, he'll be seen in glory and majesty. And look at the last one there by St. Augustine. He who loves the coming of the Lord is not he who affirms it is far off, nor is it he who says it is near. It is he who, whether it be far off or near, awaits it with sincere faith, steadfast hope, and fervent love. So, a picture to get your head around the variety of biblical texts about the coming one. I want to give you my second illustration for today, which is about your personal walk in the season of Advent, the next 4 weeks. In the next 4 weeks, you have heaps of things to do. That is a given. You have lots of routine things to do, and you have some pressing deadlines that have put you under stress, and you have enjoyable things and people to catch up with, which will be good. Here's the illustration for today. Whether it likes it or not, that boat is going to be dragged along by the current. Okay? Whether you like it or not, you are going to be dragged along by the current of the next 4 weeks and all it has to be. Rather than feeling guilty about that, because sometimes we do, rather than feeling guilty about that, here's a way of thinking. What if we thought in terms of, okay, my boat is going to be dragged along by the current of all this frenzied activity. What might I fill my boat with as the current drags me along? And here's my thought for you. Advent is a gift to us that we might fill our lives with the sacred. So, we're providing the Advent book today, which is a help to do that, to fill our busy days with the sacred. So maybe see it a bit like in the illustration I've used about the breath at the corner of the stairs. You know, you climb a flight of stairs, you get to the landing, you pause, you catch breath, you turn, you sight the next flight of stairs, and up you go again. And each day is going to have a flight of stairs. But each day, make sure there's a landing where you breathe in the Spirit and let the Advent book help you with that. The scripture reading at the top of the page, the devotional thoughts written by someone in the congregation whom you know, and then the prayer point at the bottom. May that be like this, breathing in, filling the boat with the sacred. Here's another idea in this next 4 weeks. Turn the Christmas carols to your advantage. Now, it seems to me we can easily become immune to the Christmas carols because they've become the background fodder in the shopping centres, haven't they? They just become this background like Muzak. And because of that, we can switch off from them. They're just background. What about as you are moving around the shopping centres and you hear the Christmas carols rather than just sort of switching off? Why not switch on and tune in to whatever's being played and grab a phrase out of the carol that's being played where you are? And you know, you're in the supermarket and you're doing the grocery shopping and the Christmas carols are playing, and maybe you hear, "Oh, come let us adore him, Christ the Lord." And then you're worried about, what am I going to do for tea tonight? What if instead you sort of go into automatic pilot, getting the groceries off the supermarket shelves, and put into your mind, "Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord." What if you did that? Or, "Joy to the world, the Lord is come." And just mull over it. "Joy to the world, the Lord is come." And so, if you do that little technique, if you will, I think it'll be like filling the boat with the sacred, even amidst the mundane. So, a couple of ideas. The final scripture reading for today is this. "Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I always thank my God for you because of his grace given you in Christ Jesus. For in him you have been enriched in every way, with all kinds of speech and with all knowledge. God thus confirming our testimony about Christ coming among us. Therefore, you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly wait for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. He will also keep you firm to the end, so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, who has called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord." Look at the bit I've just underlined. As you eagerly wait for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed, Advent, coming one, you have been filled with grace, enriched by Christ in your thinking, strengthened in Christ, it said, filled with spiritual gifts, called into fellowship with God. Don't those things fill the boat with the sacred? So, the current is going to drag you along. Rather than feeling guilty about that, think in terms of the boat and put in your mind, in this season of Advent, I'm going to fill the boat with the sacred. Let's pray. Father, the current is strong in these 4 weeks and the events are many and the to-do list is too long. And there are joys, and there are wondrous moments, and there are times with people which are good. So it's filled time. And Lord, sometimes we can get feeling really pressured and feel guilty and think, oh, I'm just not doing Advent right. And like that opening thing that we played about, if we get to Christmas Day exhausted, then we haven't done Advent correctly. So Lord, help us now to take this image of the boat, which we dragged along by the current anyway, and we can't help that. Rather than sort of beating ourselves up about it, just turning it around and saying, okay, amidst this, I'm going to fill my boat with the sacred. That's going to be my intention. And so use the couple of examples I've used, or you might have other examples, ideas of doing that. And then it'll be different. Then it will be different. So, Lord, help us with this across these 4 weeks. We pray it in Christ's name. Amen. So go forth now into this season of Advent to fill the boat with the sacred. Go forth then to be blessed in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, this day and always. Amen.